Now, before we do this, let's go over the ground rules. Rule number one, no touching of the hair or face.
Of course.
Go.
And that's it. Go. Now, let's do this.
Nothing can stop me. I'm all the way up.
Dynamite drop in, Monty. That broadcast school has really paid off.
Put my mic on!
And what's up, everybody? Dave Sturcio here, Dave Destruction, for another episode, episode 39 of Destruction 101, exclusively on the Shining Wizards Network and B Plus Player Radio Network. Both networks, both platforms. You can subscribe, download, and rate and review. Give me a 5-star review. It helps the algorithm. It helps people notice who the hell I am. After 39 episodes, hopefully you have a general idea. So I hope everybody enjoyed their Thanksgiving break. You know, Thursday, Friday, Black Friday, the whole weekend. It's a 4-day break for most people, unless you're in retail. And if you are, I feel very, very bad for you after the videos I've seen. It's not like Turbo Man is out there for purchase, but you know, you guys have really grinded it out. So hats off to those who work in retail during the Thanksgiving and Black Friday and this whole entire weekend. I know it's probably not the easiest job to have. Hope everybody enjoyed their Thanksgiving. We changed it up this year. My family, we usually just, you know, go to my uncle's down in Phillipsburg, New Jersey. We usually make 2 trips out there. My wife's family's out there. So we usually do that whole ordeal, where a bunch of cousins get together and all sorts of, you know, the big Sturcio family's all there. We changed it up this year and we went with, just kind of narrowed it down and went to my dad's, and we treated it like any other Sunday for football. I'll get to football in a minute because obviously I'm up Schitt's Creek when it comes to football. Yeah, we had a great time. You know, me, the wife, you know, my brother, his wife, my step sister, her husband, my dad and stepmom. We had a nice little dinner. Everything was going fine until about 4:30 in the afternoon when the Cowboys decided not to show up for their Thanksgiving Day, you know, as they play every year at 4:30. This year, you would think they played the Chargers, and you thought, okay, the Chargers are kind of on the up and ups, but, you know, the Cowboys have to bounce back. They've been slumping for 2 weeks. This has to be the week to do it, and yeah, it was not. So the Cowboys have lost 3 in a row. They're 5-6 right now heading into this week against the Redskins, which happens to be played on Thursday night. As you're listening to this, it's Wednesday, so tomorrow the Cowboys season is on the line in November. That's right. It could be all over by December 1st, and it can take off a lot of stress, to be honest with you. But I'm the kind of guy that no matter what the Cowboys are doing or how they're doing, I'm always watching every game, and I'm, you know, right in there, and just I never turn it off. It's not one of those things. I don't know if I mentioned this last time we spoke, but the Chiefs game was the game that kind of broke me. If you're a wrestling fan, you're thinking broken Matt Hardy kind of shit. I'm talking like, you know, they won the game. Don't get me wrong. The Cowboys won that game, but it was right before halftime. They gave up a touchdown, an improbable touchdown, to Tyreek Hill right before the half. And I felt my arm get numb. My eyes started twitching. I was literally stroking out. And I was like, this team can't do this to me anymore. It's not fair. You know, like I said, they won the game. But they took my soul, man. And like the next week, you know, we get our asses handed to us by Atlanta. And I sat in my house with my father, who I usually, you know, have cursed, you know, to the sun and back when it comes to watching a game with the Cowboys. I sat there and I was like numb and I didn't do much. And yeah, there was a couple moments where I'm like, yeah, you know, I got excited. Same thing for Philly with a couple bright spots. But like for the most part, I was just like sitting there in disbelief. And the same thing happened on Thanksgiving. I sat there in disbelief. I can't believe what I'm seeing out of a team that's, you know, going into the season, I thought, okay, 9-7, 10-6. I did. I said that. But then, you know, the Zeke stuff starts turning around, and we got him for the year, and I'm like, oh, okay, here we go. You know, we can win a couple games. And we did. We rattled off a couple. But then, you know, the Zeke suspension falls through, and then you lose them for six games, and they can't do anything offensively. I mean, Dak Prescott, unfortunately, I think, is being exposed as a mediocre quarterback at best. I think he's, when you rely on just the pass and you don't have a running game, and this is not to discredit Alfred Morris. He's rushed for over 100 in one of the games. And Rod Smith is coming on, and then, you know, thank you, Darren McFadden, for the one rush who abruptly got cut and then retired today as I'm recording this. So, you know, I guess he thought his time was done. And I'll touch more on something else that just went down about 2 hours ago in the world of National Football League. But, yeah, the Cowboys have just they've hit a real bad funk. It's going to be a long end of the season. I think if they can blow the doors off the Redskins tomorrow night, you know, Thursday Night Football on you know, national TV. I mean, they've been exposed on national TV 3 weeks in a row now, and it's been bad. So if they ever wanted to recover from anything, this is the week to do it. They can get the 6-6 and then just hope that everybody starts to beat each other up. I mean, there are scenarios where the Cowboys can get in to the playoffs at 10-6. There is. I've done the math. Trust me. You know, I'm the one guy like jotting it down like, okay, wait, you know what? This is what can happen, and this is what can happen. If this guy beats this guy, you know, we're good here. You know, there are scenarios, but it's very, very far-fetched. But like I said, if they can turn it around tomorrow and take care of business against a bad, banged-up Redskins team, you know, who are coming off a win of their own, which they're also 5-6. So basically, the season's on the line for each team. You know, we'll see who wants it more. But I digress. I'm not going to start talking about the Cowboys the entire episode, even though sometimes, you know, they give you enough heartache where you can go an entire 45 minutes talking about how good or how good you used to have it and then how bad it's been. You know, there's no question in my mind that I miss Tony Romo. I do, you know, in certain circumstances, I'm like, Tony would have made that throw. But Dak does so much more with his feet. So it's just a different dynamic. And I really hope that the future is bright for the team. They keep shifting guys, and the injuries are just crushing them, and it's just not a good year. It's not a good year to be a Cowboy fan, and it's weird because it's coming off one of their better years in recent history. You know, coming off a 13-3 season and then just kind of shit in the bed. It's just I don't know. Makes no sense to me. Speaking of the NFL, before I touch on everything else and plug the shows and talk about wrestling and all that other shit, just about 2 hours ago, the New York Giants announced that Eli Manning will be benched for the, I guess, the remainder of the season. You would have to assume the Giants stand right now at 2-9, and you know, it would be one thing if he's being benched for the next big thing, like a Romo with a Dak Prescott scenario, or like, you know, when Favre left and here comes Aaron Rodgers. You know, the future was there. Eli Manning is being benched for Geno Smith. Now, I don't care who you are or what team you're aligned with. If you know anything about professional football, you'll know that Geno Smith is not a professional quarterback. He's that bad. He's ruined the Jets from the interior, okay? I mean, he wasn't like, at least Sanchez, when he was doing bad, he at least led you to the AFC Championship game. Geno Smith gave you a glimpse of hope of being that new hybrid quarterback that can kind of run and do his thing. But then accuracy, there is none. You know, he was very, very bad. And the fact that, you know, this is happening to him and he's being thrown to the wolves, you know, I don't feel bad for Geno. I feel terrible for Eli Manning. And this is coming from the biggest Giants hater you're ever going to meet. I despise that organization from within my core. Even when I worked for the team, it was hard for me to go to work every day and say, like, you know, be nice to people. Like, I made friends. I made, you know, associates. I've made contacts. I've made, you know, I've played Xbox with Jeff Fiegels. I've met, you know, I've met Sean O'Hara. I've met really good people from within that organization. And I, you know, it made me not hate them as much, you know, I met Eli Manning. I met him, and he's a fantastic human being. Funny as all shit. But now, you know, you're a football fan first. You know, you love the sport of football. You love the business and everything that goes into football. What the New York Giants are doing to Eli Manning is downright dirty. Because, first of all, you can't put a 2-9 season on the shoulders of an all-pro quarterback who's won two Super Bowls. Have I gone on record and told multiple friends or maybe even said it on his podcast that Eli Manning is a bad quarterback or he's a bad thrower of the football? Yes, I've gone on record and I've said that because there's times where Eli has looked god-awful. But this guy has suited up for 210 games straight. He has not missed a game. He's not pulled a Tony Romo. He doesn't stub a finger and say, I'm out for 3 weeks. He's never injured. He's never hurt. He's durable. He's like fucking Gumby. Okay, the guy doesn't get hurt. He's durable. And for the Giants to just kind of do him dirty like this, I looked at the feeds. I watched all my friends, you know, post on Facebook in utter disarray, not knowing what to do. And this falls on the coach. I'm sorry, Ben McAdoo was not cut out to be your coach of the future. Last year is smoke and mirrors. Just like my dad, my father said that about the Dallas Cowboys of last year. Smoke and mirrors, 13-3. I don't know where it came from, but maybe it wasn't what they really were. And obviously this year, there's a lot of holes to fill. They've done a lot of different things. I mean, obviously they don't have Zeke and they don't have certain, you know, Sean Lee for a couple games. Whatever the case may be. The Giants were 11-5 last year, a quick exit out of the playoffs. And let's reminisce. Why were the Giants eliminated from the playoffs? Well, maybe because their entire receiving corps was on a boat the week of a football game where you're about to play Aaron Rodgers and the Packers. You know, maybe you're not doing that, but where's the coach? Where's the coach to say, you know what? They did the wrong thing. Don't worry, they'll be ready. They dropped balls. They barely showed up in Green Bay. I don't care what the final score was. That team didn't show up. And then from then to start by, you know, drafting a tight end, I get it. But draft what is needed the most. There's tight ends out there that can play the game of football. If you put an offensive line together, there's plenty of tight ends. There's plenty of tight ends. You made the mistake and you did not want to build your offensive line, which meant Eli was going to get roughed up. And then you spend all that money on defense, and half these guys are dogging it this year. That falls on the coach. That falls on discipline of the team. I don't care who you are. So Jerry Reese has spent all this money and now put him in all sorts of salary disarray and now wants to make the decision to bench Eli Manning, the guy that beat the Patriots, the undefeated Patriots, who beat them twice, who won you two Super Bowls, who made your team relevant for the last decade? That's rough, man. That's rough. I think it's dirty, and I hurt for Eli. I think that, and like I said, this is hard for me to say because there's nobody that hates the Giants more than me, but I know a football move when I see it, and that's rough, you know, and especially seeing all my friends. I feel bad for the people that have to pay full price to go see them play for the rest of the season. I mean, does it benefit me? Yeah, because I definitely want to be in attendance for the Cowboys game, so maybe the prices will drop, but like, come on, these people have bought PSLs. The licenses for these seats, and you want it. You basically said, you know what? With 5 weeks to go, with a month to go of the football season, we are quitting. We're done. We're done. We'll talk about this in the off season. So now the people that are attending home games, why are they going? Why would anybody go? Unless you're a Dallas Cowboy fan or another team of a visiting team coming in, Philadelphia, whatever. Like, why are you going? I'm not going. If I'm a Giants fan, I'm not going. And how am I supposed to sell these tickets? You better hope the Cowboy fan base fills up that stadium on the 10th of December. Because now there's no way you're going to fill the stadium. It's a bad business move to kind of throw the, you know, raise the white flag and say, we quit. This is bad. Very, very bad. But anyway, enough about that. Where was I? Thanksgiving? Yeah. So I hope everybody enjoyed their Thanksgiving. I decorated a little bit for my new house. I got, you know, the Christmas decorations are up. There's more to do. I think we did an okay job. And, you know, there's a couple holes in the front yard where we want to make sure it's we put more lights in some gaps. But, you know, did I want to Griswold it out? Yeah, I did. But, you know, A, I don't have a ladder that tall. I have a very tall house. And B, I just think that, you know, maybe we ease into it this year. And then next year, we could be the house that people drive by and they're like, holy shit, look at these wackos. I'm a big, big Christmas person. I don't even like just the Christmas day itself. The entire season gets me going. It's just, I love the weather. I love the snow. I love, you know, I love the snow to an extent. Not where it cripples people, and it, you know, nobody can go outside or take the roads. I'm talking about like, oh, it's snowing, that's nice, you know, an inch on the ground, okay, great, make a snowball, great, but not like fucking blizzards where it keeps us indoors and we can't do anything, we're snowed in. Being in education, it's a great thing because once the, you know, we get paid for snow days, so that's awesome. But yeah, so that was it. The weekend came and went. I went out for a friend's birthday on Friday, took a tour of a different town, a different area, which is nice to get out of, you know, the areas that you usually know. But yeah, so that was the weekend, came and went. And, you know, this week has been different. I was sick for the last week for whatever reason. And I've said this on previous podcasts, maybe in the beginning of the year. I get sick like twice a year, and I got sick and I couldn't do the things I needed to do. I needed to record my demo, which I'm going to be doing on Saturday this week, with a good friend of mine, James J. Rock from Big Shots. I have not done that yet. I was supposed to do it last week and I was sick. You know, I had no voice. I had no voice for like 6 days after the show last week. The show went off amazing. The pictures are coming back. I don't know if I talked to you guys about it. No, I didn't talk to you guys last week. The show was incredible. WrestlePro delivered top to bottom again. We crowned a new silver champion, Dan Moff. Like, it was really surreal. Had a great night of broadcasting, had a great night of ring announcing. I'm really finding a niche, and I'm really finding this to be not just a passion of mine, but something that I really, really want to succeed in. And I've had a couple people say, you know, it'll only be a matter of time before you're on Monday Night Raw or you're doing something like that. And I never even thought about that. I truly didn't. And am I thinking about it now? I guess a little bit. I guess, like, okay, you know, not to say that people talk down to me about my wrestling career, but people have said that I've had a brief or a non-existent or a failed wrestling career, and it hurts. It hurts my feelings, yeah. But at the same time, you know, pro wrestling as a whole has opened up a lot of doors. I would have never got to do the broadcasting or play-by-play for football. I would have never got discovered to do that. I would have never, you know, given the Nets thing a chance. I would have never, you know, these are things that people didn't know I had this voice or I had, like, the ability to talk in front of people without even hesitating. Like, I have no shame whatsoever. Like, I'm not shy. I'm not shy at all. You put the mic in my hand and I feel most comfortable. You know, this week, you know, as a matter of fact, being in front of a camera and being in front of like the lights and all that shit, I'm actually casted for to be pretty much a decent sized role in a commercial, an upcoming commercial that they're shooting at the high school in my town. It's not like your public access commercial. It's actually a Cristiano Ronaldo soccer commercial, but they're filming it on a football field when they need football players and all this other shit. It's a big production. Tomorrow I'm sitting in on the production meeting at 3:00 with all the producers and shit to see what they want. But I think it's pretty cool. You know, like, these things wouldn't have popped up if it wasn't for pro wrestling. So as much as people make fun of me or make fun of my career in ring or, you know, I didn't want to stop. You know, I love this stuff. I trained to be it. I trained the right way. I went to a school. I got decent at it. You know, I was never the best. I was never pinged to be the best. And it was never, nobody went into the school and said, "Whoa, that guy's going to be good." Like, I was good to promote. I was good to, you know, talk on the mic, and I was good to just, you know, fill my roles as needed. You know, do I have a couple shining moments? Yeah, I think I do. You know, people make fun of that too, you know, because I don't have as many as, you know, other people. But at the same time, you know, don't count me out just yet. You know, there's a couple things in, you know, there's stuff left in the basement, all right? Like, if the opportunity seized itself, would I ever get back in the ring? Yeah, I think I would. I would have to get medically cleared and stuff, and, you know, only the closest people to me know that scenario. And, you know, who knows? But wrestling as a whole has done so much more for me than just, you know, got stomped around for a couple of years. It's opened up a lot of doors, and we killed it again, and we're going to continue to kill it. And, you know, we got two great shows coming up December 8th in Brooklyn. We're back in Brooklyn. We had a great success down in Brooklyn last time. And then December 9th, we're back in the Rahway Rec Center where, you know, a couple of my friends are going to support me. And it's a surreal feeling, man. It really is. And it's exciting to know that we're ending 2017 with some really cool shit. And this Friday, December 1st, you know, my buddy's entertainment company's relaunching officially. The website opens for business and I'll be employed with an entertainment company. So like things are in motion. I'm doing it as much as I possibly can. I said it before, I stack the plate high. I always do. You know, you throw enough shit at the wall, something's going to stick. And I think if I just keep at it and I keep persistent, you know, something good and even better will come along. There could be a lot of money involved in the wedding business. There could be a lot of money in the voiceover business. There's a lot of shit that I could possibly dip into heading into 2018. And I'm excited, you know, and I have pro wrestling to thank for that. I have Pat Buck to thank for that. I have Kevin Matthews and Mary Bacar, Dan Moff, the Carinos, those guys who trained me in all aspects of professional wrestling. I have them to thank for the success and anything that I've been doing in announcing, broadcasting, journalism, all that good shit. So going forward, there's a couple things that have surfaced online that I wanted to speak of, a couple topics. One I've touched on multiple times, and it's getting to the point where I don't know if the, you know, it's a topic where I know the girls enjoy it. I know they do. I know the girls are out there, they're putting their stuff online and people are just flocking to them like crazy, but it's getting borderline creepy. And it's like, I see this stuff from afar and I'm like, this can't be like is this the kind of shit that goes through their head? Like, do people have to comment on every single post that a girl posts? Like, are you just kind of reminding them that, hey, I'm here, don't forget about me in case, I don't know, you one day wake up and say, I want a 400-pound guy for fucking the date, or I want a fucking creepo, you know, fucking radio host? Like, what are you doing, man? Like, what are you doing? Think about it. Like, and I know that if you're listening to this podcast right now and you're questioning, am I talking about you? Chances are I am. So stop. Like, it's borderline ridiculous. Like, saying good morning to somebody it comes off weird. I don't know. I see, you know, these are all my friends in the business. Casey Cattell, Vanity, you know, all these girls, you know, Chris Statlander, they're all friends of mine. They're all wrestlers on the WrestlePro roster. And if they put a post up, yeah, I might like it here and there, but I'm not going to just comment just to spark conversation. You know, like, it's just, I don't know, man. It's weird. I get fans are fans, but like sometimes fans are just a little too much. And you really got to check yourself at the door, because it's just, it's gross. And I know they think it's gross too. So again, if you have to question yourself right now and you have to say like, am I being a little too like drooly or gaga about somebody on social media? Then you probably are, and you probably want to pump the brakes. So, speaking of wrestling and staying on that topic, there's something that also surfaced over the weekend involving David Starr and Matthias Glass. Now, I've met Matthias Glass, and I've met him over at the BBWF, the Bigger Better Wrestling Federation, run by Dan Ram. I met this guy. He plays an Hasidic Jew. That's his wrestling character. He comes out with a big-ass hat. He does a lot of Jewish shticks, like, you know, loose change on the floor, comes out eating a bagel, like a lot of Jewish shit. Jewish stereotypical shit, the stuff that you see, like, you know, it could be any, like Gino Gotz, for instance. Gino Gotz plays this mobster Italian guy on TV or you know, at the shows, and he's greased up, he's got his hair greased back, he's wearing the leather jacket, he's wearing the jacket with the glitter and shit, he's doing the real Guido thing. He's playing a character. Matthias Glass has been put on blast by David Starr. Now, this is kind of coming on the heels of me saying that David Starr was one of my favorite guys to watch wrestle, and that's coming off of a Five Borough Wrestling show. And he is. Performance-wise, David Starr is something special, and I even inquire with Kevin, how much is this guy? How can we get him on the shows? Like, he's that fucking good in ring. However, he brought to the attention that he found out that Matthias Glass is not really Jewish. And he went on and said, you know, this is the same thing. You know, if I painted my face black and I went out, you know, into there, and it would offend people, blah, 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 blah. And he went on to say like a bunch of shit, and like there's, you know, a huge thread online, you can look it up. But some of the stuff that he was saying kind of triggered with me, and you know, it kind of upset me a little bit, because you don't, there's good attention and there's bad attention. And I think this brought on more bad attention than it did good attention. I know his intentions. I get why he's upset. He's a Jewish guy who feels like he's being portrayed in a bad way. And I remember there was a post a year or so ago where somebody threw like a bag of pennies at him or some shit at a show. And he went off the fucking reservation and lost it. And he has every right to get mad at something like that. But the last time I checked, this is professional wrestling where people are doing anything and everything to get their characters over, okay? Mr. Starr, you're a friend of mine. You know, me and you took that Matt Hardy seminar back in 2012 together. Like, I met you there, and we were friends ever since. But you're in a business where you will do anything and everything to get your character over in this industry. You have a guy like Joey Ryan telling people to grab his dick, and then he uses his dick to flip people. You have guys that are dressed like demons. You have guys that are dressed like clowns, like Doink, for instance. Is Doink a real clown? Oh, is he offending the clown fan base? You know what I mean? Like, there is guy. Look at Crime Time. Look at Crime Time when they came out with their rap music. Yo, 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 yo. Like, do you think that, like, the black universe of the world was like, wait a minute, how can they fucking do this? How can they say, like, all black guys are stealing shit and fucking, you know, rappers and this, that, and the other? That's stereotypical. That made fucking WWE television, okay? I think that you're a little wrong in this, because this guy, no matter how good or bad he is wrestling-wise, Matthias Glass has got a character that's built over a pretty big fan base, considering he's a part of Grimm's Toy Show, which we all know what kind of fucking fan base he has. It's just, you know, are they all trained wrestlers? Fuck no, they're not. And, you know, I'll be the first one to say that some of their shit is just that shit. But at the same time, it's pro wrestling, man. This is fake fighting, believe it or not. I know that you take your heritage, like, serious, but, like, how many guys have played a preacher man? How many guys have praised the Lord and took the Lord's name in vain? Am I Catholic ass going to go, that's offensive? I don't think that's appropriate. Like, you shouldn't be saying God this and cross that and, you know, fucking praying this with praying hands, you know? Like, I'm not going to get offended. I'm an Italian guy. Am I going to fucking go crazy on Nunzio when he goes out there flipping people off and he's from the FBI, the full blood of the Italians, blah, blah, blah? Am I going to be like, ugh, I don't know, man. That's distasteful to Italians. I'm Irish. Am I going to get mad at fucking people for fucking drinking and fucking being Irish? You know what I mean? All Irish stereotypes. I think you're in the wrong here. And like I said, I'm not saying you're right or wrong. I'm just giving you my opinion that when professional wrestling goes above and beyond to put on a show, you're supposed to believe in the character. You, my friend, have said, you know, you've made a lot of money cursing. You've made a lot of money saying, look at it, you know, pointing to your dick. You know, you've made a lot of money that way. That could be taken as offensive to certain people, you know, but you've done it. I know you compared it to painting your face black and shit like that, and it would be super offensive, but this is just, it's a comedy thing, man. It's comedy, and that's what it's supposed to be. And I think you just took it a little too far by trying to exploit this guy, and in turn, there's a lot of people that are looking at you like, why is he making this that big a deal? There are far bigger, worse issues in the world of professional wrestling or the world in general than to get upset about something like this. Like, I get it. You're very, you know, again, you're in with your spirituality, I guess. But then there's people that are saying you're as, you know, you're not as Jewish as everybody say you are. You know what I'm saying? Like, again, I'm Catholic. I've been to church, I can't even tell you how many times in the past decade, okay? Unless it was a funeral or a wedding or fucking whatever, baptism or whatever, I've not stepped foot. Does that make me a bad Catholic? Yeah, it probably does. But, like, you know, like, it's just, you pick your battles, and I think you picked the wrong one here, because I think at the end of the day, it is pro wrestling, it is fake fighting, it's a play, man. It's a dramatic play with athleticism. Stick to that. You know, people get over with some weird fucking characters nowadays, man. Like I just said, I made reference to Joey Ryan and just people that are just weird, you know, weird, offensive characters. It happens. Unfortunately, and this is going for, every fucking thing in the world. We live in a society where everybody's offended so goddamn quick. Look, see, I just said goddamn. I know if Chris Payne's listening, he's like, oh, that son of a bitch. He gets mad. He's offended. People get offended over the worst shit. There's far more worse problems in this world than to be offended if somebody calls you something or name drops or you know, the old saying, man, sticks and stones. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's not as big as you think it should be. And I think that, you know, over time, you'll realize that, you know, you picked the wrong battle here. I think it's just, yeah, did it get you publicity? Yeah, sure, it did. And, you know, WrestleZone covered it and, you know, people just, you know, dirt sheets hit it. And I guess if that was your objective, fine. You know, I'm not saying anything on record where I'm going to get fucking headline material. I don't need it. You know, like, could you read the headline like, Dave Sturcio says David Starr isn't that Jewish? You know what I'm saying? Like, it's not, I'm not trying to stir the pot. I'm just saying that, you know, sometimes the internet, unfortunately, the internet doesn't, it's not valued and used the way it should be. It's used for people to bitch and whine and complain and just not make strides in their careers. And that's just, it's just what it is, man. It sucks, but it's just, it is what it is. But hopefully that all gets resolved. And like I said, I root for both parties. David Starr is a phenomenal wrestler. Matthias Glass is a funny dude. Can't say he's a phenomenal wrestler. I've only seen his work a couple times. Can't really judge that. But again, it's pro wrestling, man. That's all it is. You know, I watched, I was doing cardio today at the gym, and I was watching The Table for Three with Ricky the Dragon Steamboat, Ric Flair, and Sting. And they said, they had mentioned something like kayfabe is dead. And like, look, let's call it how it is. It is. It's dead. It's unfortunate. I appreciate guys like Dan Moff and Mara Bakara and guys like that, the older generation of the people that I'm working with right now. Like, they're not that old. Like, Mario's probably not 5-6 years older than me. But they were brought up in a time, like, especially Dan Moff, you know, where he gets to the building, he gets dressed, he keeps to himself, and he comes out and does his match. And that's the first time you see him all night. He's not out there selling or slinging merchandise. He's not trying to meet and greet with the fans. He's old school, and he's back there, and he's, you know, worried about his match, and that's it. And I truly wish that pro wrestling went back down that road. I understand that independent wrestling is, you know, the way you make money is merchandise, and I get that. I truly, truly do. But if you think about it, if you go to a WWE event, and I'm not comparing the indies to WWE, but I'm just saying, if you go to a WWE event and you go to the merchandise stand, you see people's t-shirts and memorabilia and fucking chains and foam fingers and all that shit. Do you see any of those wrestlers there? Like, please buy my shit. Please, you know, how about this? Let's buy my shit. Promoting themselves. Like, it's not necessary. I think Kevin can leave his table. Kevin Matthews can leave his table with all his merchandise and have somebody else sell it. He doesn't need to sell it. You know, he sold himself. He's on Impact Wrestling. He's doing his thing. But I think there's too many people that are just like crying for money. And I think that if you're over and if you're you know, a legit superstar, then you're not going to have to do that. You know, there's plenty of t-shirts at the you know, WrestlePro stands that the people aren't really manning their shirts. They're confident that hopefully somebody likes my character enough to buy a shirt. They'll give the person the money, and then they'll get the money at the end of the night. You know, I just feel like the mystery of pro wrestling is gone, and I think that people are way too concerned with themselves over the product that they work for, and they're not really concerned anymore with making pro wrestling, you know, not to sound cliche or sound like fucking asshole Trump, but make it great again and make it a somewhere where people are blown away by the over-the-top characters and, you know, when they come out, the people are in awe and they're in suspense and they're just, you know, if they see you for 4 hours before the show, like, what kind of pop are you going to get when they see you again for the fifth time come through the curtain? You know, it's just something I've realized and I picked up over time. I'm not saying it's right. I'm not saying it's wrong. Like I said, independent wrestling is very money-driven where you have to sell yourself. I get that. I just wish it was turned to the point where things were different and, you know, people just went to the shows. I'm not saying cancel the meet and greets, especially for the legends and stuff. Those are awesome and they make the businesses a lot of money. But I'm saying, like, overall, like, just keep the mystery alive and kayfabe and just, you know, I'm the first one that, like, when Pat says, like, doors are opening in five, I'm rallying these guys to get the fuck out of the, like, the sight of the fans, because I don't want them to come see them warming up in a match. Nothing is shittier, and I've seen this at other indie events, where the fans are starting to pile in and the guys are literally going over their match in the ring with fans coming in. Like, it's disturbing, man. Very, very disturbing that you truly don't care about the mystery and the big magic that is supposed to be professional wrestling. Like, give yourself a little bit more credit in being this larger-than-life character. And I guess it's part our fault as far as, like, the talent on the other side of the rail, like the performers and myself and whoever's involved in any wrestling company. We let the fans in a lot in independent wrestling. And that's part of the business. You want to... an emotional connect with your Hummers and your Chinos and your groupies and, like, the people that are there all the time, and that's great. But I think that somewhere along the line we let them in too much, where they think that, you know, and this is not a knock on them, because I always, and I love those people that have continued to support everything I've done, everything WrestlePro's done, but I'm saying I think that there's a time and a place where they need to realize once again that they're fans. And we're the wrestlers, and we're the performers, and we're the people putting on the show, and we're the people you paid to see. Not to hang out with, not to buy beers for, not, you know what I mean? Like, it's just a little different. And I guess what I want is I want WrestlePro or an indie company to be WWE. You know, you're not going to see Randy Orton come out after his SmackDown match and say, "What's up, everybody?" and just hang out and buy a beer and just fucking relax with the fans. You're not going to see it. And like I said, indies are not the WWE, and this is why, but I just, look, I'm rambling, it's a rant, I'm sorry, it's just things, little things that I've noticed over the last, you know, the last year of being, you know, not so much in the ring, but just looking around and observing my surroundings, so, whatever the case may be. Last but not least, fantasy football updates, because I know you guys are oh so excited about fantasy football. As it stands right now, in the Creative Pro League, I am 7-5. I was 7-2. I was cruise control. It was fucking beautiful, and I hit a skid. And my C plus draft is being exposed right now. But as of right now, I think, other than a catastrophic shit performance by my team alone, I'm in the playoffs on that one. In my own league, I'm in the playoffs in that one right now. I'm 7-4-1. Yeah, I know. You guys remember I tied. It was fucking awful. And then another league, I'm 5-7, and that's my big money league. Unfortunately, I cannot make the playoffs in that one. Too many injuries, bad draft. I just, you know, I gambled on Brady, which is great, you know, but I also gambled on, like, a Mike Evans and a Marshawn Lynch, and those guys just dropped the fucking complete ball. But this might be a little bit of a shorter episode. That's cool, too. Just wanted to fill you guys in with everything that's going on. I talked a little bit tonight. You know, I covered the WrestlePro stuff. I've covered, you know, my goals and what's going on in the upcoming year. And we're excited to announce the 2018 February 3rd, the night before the Super Bowl. Emma will be debuting under Tennille or Tennille, or I got to find out how she's pronouncing that. But that has, oh, Jesus Christ, that's another thing. Before I let you guys go, you know, I'm the one that controls the Twitter and the WrestlePro Facebook page and the Twitter page. And I post a lot of stuff and I try to, you know, create a lot of volume. And I dropped that Emma thing on Twitter and it got a huge response. I'm talking over 1,000 likes, 500 plus retweets. It's all over. It hit the dirt sheets real fast. Like, it is a lot. However, there are those out there that are on my case, or in WrestlePro's case, you know, thinking that I'm not the guy, but they're on the case of saying why I called her a former WWE diva and not a former WWE superstar. First of all, A, I'm sorry. B, fuck you, okay? Because that's, are you kidding? You couldn't, like, just be excited that she's going to be there. And for Christ's sakes, she retweeted it and quoted it and said, "I can't wait to get back in the ring." Not hit up Pat and said, "Hey, you know, not for nothing, I was a fucking superstar. I'm not a diva." She started the Divas Revolution. Am I not fucking mistaken? Like, isn't that class of girls, like, the Diva Revolution, where you guys, you know, got rid of the Divas Championship and now it's the Women's Championship, blah, 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 blah. Like, again, Not sexist by any stretch. I say the word diva and people just exploded. And I couldn't believe it. I was blown away. I was like, this is a joke. And I even texted Pat and I said, this isn't happening, right? Like this, you know, it's getting all this noise and you can't edit. First of all, Twitter, get on the ball, man. Be able to edit a tweet instead of deleting it, because I would edit it in a heartbeat. But it got all this noise, and now I can't fucking edit it. I can't delete it because it got so much noise and traffic and volume and shit like that. But Jesus Christ, like, people, relax. I get it. Women's wrestling is on the rise. I get it. You know, I'm a fan of a certain amount of individuals that are on the rise in our very company. But for people to go nuts about that, it's like, holy shit, man. Like, you really have to pick out the worst of the worst shit to fucking get on my case about, or WrestlePro's case about. Like, enjoy the fucking show, buy the tickets, and just shut your mouths. You know, we're main eventing Angelina Love and Emma in the main event of a February show. That should be it. You should be happy at that instead of fucking bitching and whining. Now, I called her a diva. That's what she was. Like, I'm not saying it just because, just to say it. I'm saying it because that's what she was. Breathe. Anywho. You can follow me on Twitter for all these things, at Dave Sturch, DaveSturch. I'm getting those followers up. I'm about 949 or 950. I would love to break 1,000. Why not? So spread the word. Instagram, same thing, Dave Sturch. www.facebook.com/DaveDestruction. Destruction is spelled DSTRUCTION. Look me up on Facebook. Hit me up on all my social medias. Snapchat, not so much anymore. I'm not really big on that anymore. It's going away, I think, actually, at the end of this year. I think they're shutting it down. So be on the lookout for that. I also got to look into this internet neutrality thing or something like that, because Macintosh brought it to my attention. And I looked it up, and all of a sudden, I'm thinking the internet's going to cost money now. So maybe this is it. So next time you hear from me, it'll be episode 40. But until then, you know, I'll either talk to you guys next week or the week after that. Follow WrestlePROOnline.com. Be sure to purchase your tickets now. There's so much shit going on right now. Impact Wrestling is coming in the 8th and the 9th. The 9th, they're recording a championship match. Like I said, don't know my involvement in that, but it would be cool to be, you know, on commentary for it. But again, they have their own company. They're not us. So everybody relax. So enjoy your weekends, everybody. Stay safe. Be safe. Don't drink and drive. Don't do drugs. All that shit. You know, all that positive stuff. Keep fighting at what you're fighting at. Focus on what you're good at instead of fucking, you know, worrying about all the negative energy that's around you. And be happy for everybody. I've noticed that also. A lot of my friends have recently hit some strides and hit some really successful moments in their life. And I feel like if you support them and you give them all your backing and support, that eventually it'll come around. It'll come around full circle. So I kind of promise you that. So with that being said, have a good weekend, and I'll see you all in next week or a couple weeks or whatever. In the meantime, definitely download the Shining Wizards Network podcast. They got Peter Rosenberg on this week. Big, big get. Hot 97 WWE. Go download the Shining Wizards Network, all their podcasts that are on their platform. Check out A Drink with Gino and all the stuff that's on the B Plus Player Radio Network, including the High Spot Podcast. Jeff and Brian, my boys over at the at Sirius Radio. I miss those guys, and whatchamacallit. Looking forward to seeing those guys as well next week. See you guys later. I am forgiven. Every breath in my lungs won't stop until I'm free, not to know. However long it takes, I'll go to whatever lengths. It's gonna make me a monster, though. But I'm never the same. Unstoppable, unpoppable thought bubbles. Untoppable thoughts, fucking juggernaut that'll stomp you in a verse. Obstacles, I'm drawn to them when they're going got up. Some of what I done fought through was the worst. No sissy, who the fuck taught you how to persevere? There ain't no situation that you ever had to respond to that's adverse. Messiest thing you've ever gone through was your purse. Yeah, I don't cry like hell, but I might as well hang it up like a shell. Gotta keep rolling with it, evolve, cause you can keep talking.
throwing shit at the wall, but you're gonna find that nothing's gonna stick until you apply yourself. Time to slip in that zone till I find myself inside the realm of the unknown and boldly go into waters where nobody else has gone before. I'm willing to go uncharted, feeling it so calm, I'm feeling myself. I'm a giant sometimes, I gotta remind myself that I am phenomenal.
Every ounce of my blood, every breath in my lungs, won't stop until I'm phenomenal.
I am phenomenal.
However long it takes, I'll go to whatever lengths, it's gonna make me a monster though.
When you're down and they're trying to clown the fuck out of you, when you feel like you're running out of fuel, I'll show you how to use doubt as fuel, convert it to gunpowder too. Now what you do is put the match in the charcoal fluid, put the spark to it like Martha Stewart barbecue, and oh screw it, feel like you wanna hit that wall, then do it, punch through it, just cut back, put your arm into it. Now you gon' take that range and make that what you raise, never take back what you say. If you stay strapped in your brain and case in a steel case, man, it's ready to scrap base, eh? Take your fist in this bone, shoulders big and smallest, you're Christopher Wallace. Now picture them all as plastic and foam, and it lays flat when you put your dinner plates at and set it on it like a placemat. And I want you to say that
with every breath in my lungs, won't stop until I'm phenomenal.
I am phenomenal.
However long it takes, I'll go to whatever lengths, it's gonna make me a monster though.
Shut up, Val. Can't even cut up power to it, but it's what allowed me to come up out from under the fucking ground. Cause I work my butt off now, it's a subject that I don't know how to shut up about. Cause I stuck it out like a motherfucking tongue that's how I responded when I got shoved around. You're gonna have non-believers, but when you're beyond belief, you probably shouldn't wonder how. Get it, how you live, but are you prepared to give more than you get? And put in twice what you get back from this shit. Though what you sacrifice barely is half, never give. Rap is my shift, but it's like my shield. At the same time, I wield, and my knife is will. Sometimes I feel just like Be Real from Cypress Hill. How I could just kill a cypher, survivor's guilt. I rhyme like life is still an uphill climb. Ready to face any challenge, waiting, can taste it. It's salivation, I'm waging retaliation. Look what I have built. Reputation is validation. The only thing I'm capable of making is amazing. Only thing you're capable of making is a false statement, an accusation. I'm legendary status, in fact, that is the only way you'll ever be able to say your legend is making an allegation. I write with the left, same hand I hold the mic with, as I fight to the death, to my last breath. Man is to prove who the best man is, prevail it, all cause be the only one left standing in the end, but I ain't gonna be the only one with the advantage of knowing what it's like to be southpaw. Cause you can bet your ass you'll be left hanging, cause I am
phenomenal. With every ounce of my blood, with every breath in my lungs, won't stop until I'm phenomenal.